I am super excited to have our guest on today. And I know with a podcast, you're so used to me talking to portrait and wedding photographers, branding photographers, and basically photographers who take pictures of people. But I wanted to bring our guest on today because she is a nature photographer and she specifically loves taking images of flowers. Now, some of you might be wondering, what does that have to do with portrait photography and selling more portrait products? Hang with me here. Lori Langford, our guest today, is a nature photographer and she's based out of Maryland. And her passion is taking pictures of flowers. Now, not only can you sell a lot of artwork by taking pictures of flowers, I've done that myself. The reason I asked her to join me today was that she has a passion for personal photography projects. Try saying that five times fast. She believes that there's a time and a place for everyone to have a project that can inspire them and keep them alive in the creating art in the photography world. And a lot of times we speak about the fact that passion for photography started before we started a business. And a lot of us lose that passion because it becomes our livelihood. Lori believes that these passion projects are something that can keep her inspired and excited about photography, even when it is her job. So I'm super glad that you are here with us today for the Focal Points podcast. Welcome to Focal Points, an end photo podcast hosted by Dori Howell. This is the place to be to learn how to build a photography business that you love. Well, like I said in the introduction, I am here today with Lori Langford, and Lori Langford is a nature photographer located in Maryland. And I met Lori actually when we started recording this podcast. I said, you know, or she said, it's almost like we know each other because we've been circulating in the same Facebook groups in the same communities, and we teach for a certain organization that we have in common. And it's really a nice way to become friends before we are friends. And I'm very excited that Lori is here with me today. So Lori, welcome.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here and spend this time with you.
Thank you. Listeners. Awesome. We have been talking to different photographers about personal projects. And Lori, being a nature photographer, has a different spin on personal projects than maybe a portrait or a wedding photographer would. And so I would love, Lori, first of all, just to tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got into the genre of photography that you specialize in.
Yeah, great. So I've been shooting, gosh, almost probably my whole life since I was a little kid, had a camera. But through the years, as my children, I have two kids, got older, I really got into landscape photography. And I just, you know, fell hard for it and grew as a photographer, and then got introduced and really interested in more macro and looking at objects closer. I am from a long line of gardeners, and I love to garden and have just a passion for flowers and nature. And so I think it was a natural transition for me to really become a nature photographer and enjoy those wider views of landscapes, but really looking at things close up and diving in. But my heart is also, I've always been an educator in my day job, work life. And it was natural, I think, for me to progress with that in my photography. I absolutely love helping others, really looking to find the beauty out in the world. And so for me, it's not teaching the technical stuff. I do teach editing, but it's about, you know, exploring and seeing the beautiful light and capturing images that you really feel proud about. And so I enjoy that work as well.
Another thing, one of the things that we have in common that you don't know about is I was stalking your Facebook page like I do when I have guests on. And I noticed that you are, and I don't remember how old this post was, but you were talking about the garden tour that your house is going to be on for your town. And you were talking about how many bulbs you plant. When it comes to, so how many bulbs did you plant? Because I'm assuming that's coming up in the spring, right? Is that for this year? Okay. How many bulbs did you plant?
Oh gosh, over 2000. It could have been 2,500. Really? I have more bulbs on the way too, to put in some pots. They're supposed to arrive this week.
I love it.
And I'm like, oh, I have some extra pots just in case I need some extra ones.
I love it. Well, What people don't know about me, I don't think I've ever really shared this, is that we have a property at our house, you know, an extensive property at our home, and we have a lot of deer. And when I first moved into my home, I love tulips so much. We've made trips to the Skagit Tulip Festival in Washington State, where there's acres and acres and acres of tulips in bloom. If you've never done that, I highly recommend making that trip. It's gorgeous. It's almost like being in Holland, but you're in the States, and it's gorgeous. We've done that several times. And so I have big 60 by 40 canvases in my home of these tulip fields, and they just make me happy. That's just one thing that makes me happy. So when we moved into our house, I thought, I'm going to plant tulips all over the place, tulips. My yard is going to be covered in tulips. The problem with tulips is the fact that deer think they are candy. And yes. So the first year that we were here, I planted all my tulips, and they came up, and they started to bloom. And the next day after the buds came up, we found them bit half off at the head. They'd become decapitated and yanked out of the ground. And they were all over my yard. And I literally cried. I was heartbroken. The dream for the garden that I wanted in my front yard was that bubble like exploded everywhere. But I found out the daffodils are something that deer do not eat. And so I plant usually several hundred daffodil bulbs every year in my yard. And my home has been photographed by architectural photographers, and they come knocking on the door. And it's not every year, but every once in a while they come knocking on the door and they say, do you mind if we take pictures of your home? And I'm sure, just don't give out the address, right? It doesn't matter.
Right. Like,
Photoshop out the address and I'm good with it. It doesn't matter. But when I saw that you were planting all these bulbs for the home tour, I said, first of all, you're not that far from me because you're up in Maryland. I need to go for this tour and see what you've done with it. And it just made me feel a little bit more connected to what you were doing. So I have to ask you, the bulbs that you are planting, because I'm assuming you have deer in your area too. Do you? Or is it an issue?
No, there are.
Where you are?
There are.
Okay.
But we are directly on Main Street in our little town outside of Frederick. And there's enough farms and other things, areas, forest for the deer to live and get food.
Okay.
So we don't have them directly here. We have other things like bunnies and all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
Groundhogs and, but
chipmunks, all the little things, right?
The squirrels have tried to dig some of them up, but so far, yeah.
Okay.
No deer. I did plant a lot of daffodils as well because I love them. They were my dad's favorite. And so I'm trying to get them naturalized in our yard.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that. I think I'm going to make a trip up one day when that is all in bloom because I would love to see it. But let's get back on track. I just wanted to tell that story because I don't think I've told that to anyone on the podcast or anything. It's like, oh, they don't know about my obsession with bulbs, right? So I would love to know a little bit about your personal project. Because I know you work on one almost all the time. So tell me what you're working on.
Oh, goodness. So you want to know what I'm working on right now?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So for this winter, I discovered an artist that's out of Canada, and she did a project during lockdown with COVID where she submerged flowers. She actually has a swimming pool, and she does a lot of underwater photography. Mm-hmm. And she didn't have people that could come that she could shoot. So she decided to try submerged flowers. And I've done frozen flowers. I've done lots of water with flowers, but I've never like submerged. And it was in where the colors of the blue, and it was just beautiful. They're absolutely gorgeous. So I'm wanting to tackle that. I've tried it once already,
okay.
And I didn't have the right container. So I've got some other ideas of containers to try. And you either have to find a way to prop it yourself or you need a helper to hold the flower under. But I want to try to tackle it and see what I can capture that's similar. I find inspiration in other artists.
I
think there's no shame in that. And I tell my students that all the time, like it's okay to, you want to be inspired by each other. Mm-hmm. So that's one. My second one is going to be coming up this spring. I went to the artist David Hockney's Spring in Normandy exhibit in Chicago last fall. And if you haven't seen that work, it's absolutely incredible. And seeing it life size, it was just blew me away. And I love spring. I love spring trees. And so I want to do a photographic project in a very similar style. So it'll be shooting with his perspectives in mind and views, but then also editing. I love to edit in a creative way. Mm-hmm. So I want to do a Hockney inspired spring project. So those are two I'm tackling this year.
I love it. So why do you think that it's important for you or for other artists to have personal projects like this? How does this drive what you want to do?
Yeah, I think there's there's probably more than two, but two real big reasons. Doing a focused project helps you grow. Mm-hmm. I look back on the projects I've done, they've really helped me grow as an artist and as a photographer. And I think anything we do in life where we're really focused and we have a plan and we learn from it, you see that growth. And so I think they're just integral to that growth and personal development. I think the other side is it's a wonderful opportunity. If you are by day a wedding photographer, portrait photographer, you don't get to spend a lot of time on your own personal projects, your personal photography. And so having a project, whether it's a year long, whether it's a short lived, just gives you your own personal joy. Mm-hmm. And I think keeps you really engaged, and it keeps you inspired where you don't maybe get burned out on your craft. I talk to photographers all the time that have kind of put their camera away and they need to bring it back, and a project can help you with that.
Yeah, I love it. Especially if you're doing this, I think most of us get into photography for the love of it. Not a lot of us, because I primarily teach business to photographers and how to have a thriving photography business. Once it turns into a business, a lot of times, and it ebbs and flows, but a lot of times that passion goes away. And we forget why we actually started doing what we're doing, because it's become a paycheck. It's become something that we've relied upon. And that switches how we think about everything. The priorities shift in a way that I think takes some people by surprise, and other people just morph slowly time after time after time, and they realize, I don't really enjoy this anymore. It's my vocation. It's just what I do. And I agree that if you have something that you can be lit up about, that you can do just for you, that maybe never even ever sees the light of day, but it can keep that creative spark alive, I think that helps you emotionally and how you think about your business mentally. And it also can help spark new things in your business, because you don't want to do things the same year after year after year after year. I always have great respect when I go to concerts, like, say, for example, like the Rolling Stones. If they have concerts, I don't even know if they really do anymore because, you know, of their advanced age, but they've been singing some of their songs on stage for decades, because that's what people want. But I often wonder, how much joy are they getting out of that versus they're just putting on the show because that's what's paying the bills or that's what's keeping people happy? And you can see that shift. And I see that shift when I'm talking with photographers about their business. I'm going, why did you start doing what you do? Because I loved it. Well, do you love it anymore?
I think a lot of photographers too, and I've been in this boat, as your business grows, you feel like you have to give up things that are really passionate. So mm-hmm. I love to shoot intentional camera movement and abstract.
Yes.
But it really is not it's not a part of my business. And I had to really work through how and where do I keep this going? Mm-hmm. And so I still shoot that. I don't share most of the images. I have a platform that I'm a part of where I share them. Mm-hmm. And I write for a magazine just out of pure joy to share that craft and my images. And so I'm going to keep it alive, but it isn't part of my business. And for mm-hmm. a while, I thought it was just like, okay, I just need to give that up. And it was like, no, don't give up what brings you joy.
Right. You shouldn't give that up.
Yeah.
I love that. So how does, when you're working on these projects, you say you have two coming up that you want to work on. How do these things challenge you? Is it something that maybe you're not sure about until you get into it and then like, oh, I want it to look like this? Or how do you find that that is challenging you from a creative perspective?
Yeah. So projects I've done in the past were focused on where I wanted to master a skill. Mm-hmm. So for example, shooting intentional camera movement, I also did a water drop in nature project, where I was really trying to learn some of the technical parts, really hone those skills, and then just explore and find joy in what I was out capturing. And so those projects just really inspired my creativity and just, you know, had that focus to learn a skill and then to take that to the next level. Mm-hmm. These current projects are a little bit smaller, but again, it is an opportunity for me to do something that I enjoy and then maybe I can share with others. So mm-hmm. I think for both topics, they may relate back to my business of nature and creative photography, and I may share them in my newsletter or in some of my courses, but it's really personally for me. And mm-hmm. so whether I spend, you know, a couple months trying it, it's also an opportunity to fail. Like, it's okay for something not to work.
Right, right.
And to get frustrated. And it's good, especially since I teach, for me to experience that, because that's what life is. We're mm-hmm. going to have successes and we're going to have failures.
Yeah, I love that. I'm assuming that you have learned an incredible amount about your craft doing these personal projects, because you just mentioned that sometimes you start a project because you want to learn a specific skill in a certain area. So I know that has helped your camera skills and widened your knowledge of the craft and how you use your camera and how you can get different results. What do you find these personal projects, though, have taught you about yourself, whether it's in business or personally?
Yeah, I think that's the deeper level of, mm-hmm. of these projects. And I think they've taught me that, you know, you don't have to be perfect in your photography. You're not going to always get it right the first time, and that it is okay for something not to work. It's okay mm-hmm. to shoot a lot and be like, oh, this is yuck, but to try again, you know, not to just give up. And I'm not a give up kind of gal. So I'm going to keep trying at it. But I think personally, it's a lot of joy in trying something new, taking some time really for myself, because they are projects that you typically are doing by yourself. And so it's an opportunity to maybe have some stillness in your life, some quiet, and do just experiment. Mm-hmm. And so it's brought me a lot of joy. It's helped me learn new things. It's taught me a lot about failure, which, you know, even at my age is important to remember and to, you know that it's okay. It's taught me a lot about opening up my creativity. So I think we often try to maybe imitate something or do something, and we think there's a rule for it or a way we're supposed to do it. But to allow yourself to just try, let mm-hmm. me try this and see what happens. And that's important in life. It's absolutely very much like gardening. Mm-hmm. I will try things. I'm getting ready to start some seeds and I'm debating, and I think I'm going to try three different processes because I'm new to this garden. I just moved to Maryland and it's cooler here than where I used to garden. And so I'm giving myself permission to just try it. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going to happen. And it's the same thing, I think, in photography. It's the same thing sometimes with our businesses. You have mm-hmm. to be willing to stretch and try something, even if it's something simple or small.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be big and huge and dynamic. It could be, you know, it's just baby steps, and you don't always know where it's going to end up. And that is part, I mean, that's just life in general. You don't know where it's going to end up. You're going to get curveballs thrown at you from every direction. So just like that lesson in life, like just start, just take that step, just try it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Yeah. So you approach it. And if it doesn't work the first time and you want to try it again, you're not approaching it from nothing. You're approaching it from experience. You know, already one thing doesn't work, so you'd have to try it a little bit of a different way. And that is in business. That is with personal projects. That is in life. That's just how that all works out. So what do you, when you really love a series or you really love something that you have produced, what are you doing with the images?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, when you think, and if you study other photographers that do personal projects, there usually is something to be shown for it. Mm-hmm. So whether it's in a gallery, it's a book, a lot of times it's a book. Mm-hmm. It could be a gallery showing. It could be a write-up for a magazine. It could just be personal. When I teach a workshop on personal projects, I talk about it could just be you make a calendar with all your images from that series. It could be you share it with family and friends. Mm-hmm. It is important as you finish the project, whatever success you feel like you've had, even if it's one image, that you do something with it. So it could be you get it printed on a coffee mug or you share it on social media or, but it's important to have that, whether it's, you know, printed or you make a book of it, to do something with it. So I've done a variety. My first personal project I ever did was a year-long project. I used to live in Austin, Texas, and we knew we were only going to live there for about another year. And I worked on a landscape project documenting my favorite places in Austin. And it was called Austin in Focus. And I worked on it for a whole year. It was...
That's a big project.
It was. Mm-hmm. And I shot all the different seasons, which there are four seasons in Texas.
And wait, really? I don't know. I just usually hear that it's hot and dry. But okay, yeah. I'll believe you.
Yeah. I shot all the seasons and went out at different times of day and different sites. And I mean, I just took so many images and really worked on it. And then I put it together in a book. Mm-hmm. And originally that book was just for me. And then I thought about, well, there's not many new books. There's not many new travel books about Austin at the time. And so, you know, the idea could then grow. Maybe I want to take it to some gift shops, or you never know where it's going to go. But that one, I really decided I was going to put together as a book. And I have the book and I'm proud of it. And it kind of culminated.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, you did that with Austin, but that's something that people could do in their hometowns, because people fall in love with where they grow up. They fall in love with where they live and where they've decided to plant a family and plant their roots. And having a photographic representation of that, that they can put on their coffee table. I don't have it in front of me, but we have a little store in town called the Museum Shop. And everybody knows about the Museum Shop. And if you want something that has to do with our hometown, you go to the Museum Shop. And I went in there looking for Christmas tree ornaments at Christmas time because I wanted something that represented my hometown on my tree, because we usually decorate with, I'll get stuff when we travel, like where we've traveled. So our trees, like, kind of, it tells our story. Like if you looked at our tree, you'd be like, oh, okay, they have one child, she's a cheerleader, and they've traveled to London and they've done this in Mexico and they've gone on cruises and then they've done this and all those types of things. So I wanted something that represented that. So I went in and they had some homemade by local artists ornaments, but then they also had this really cool coffee mug, and it's actually the map of the town on this coffee mug. It's the most expensive coffee mug I have ever purchased. Like, literally, I'm like, this costs how much? But while I was in there, I noticed I didn't have a book of images, and I'm thinking, that's exactly who people who shop in that store, they would love a book of images of creative images of their town, of landmarks, of familiar places, that type of thing. I'm like, so you saying that just kind of sparked like, oh, I could really do that. And that's what I would put it together in a book. And if you need a great lab for those things, people listening to the podcast, you know, Enphoto is our sponsor. And you can listen to how you can get 75% off your first sample right now.
Some of the products that I really, really love from Enphoto are their presentation options that they give photographers, from their album box to wooden cases to gift boxes to slip cases. There's so many different options that you never, ever have to present your client with just a stack of prints again. You can really put together a beautiful, cohesive presentation that also allows for you to have the USB with that, not have the USB. It truly is customizable. If you're looking for a great way to present your prints to your clients, head over to Enphoto today and take advantage of their beautiful offers for print presentation.
All right, so now you know where to get your 75% off your sample for your personal project book. As the other artists that I've talked to in this series, I've encouraged them, if they haven't had a way to print or do something with their images, having a nice photo book in place, I think, is just something that can be really representative of the work that you've put in. So I'm glad to hear, Lori, that you are doing something like that, because sometimes we think that our images are safe on our hard drives, but I believe that they need to be put out into the world to be truly enjoyed. And more than just social media. Social media's feeds are fine, but you know, the average post on Facebook, I think, lasts 23 minutes, and Instagram might be a little bit longer, but that's starting to go down too with how fast everything goes through. So, and with the algorithms, you can never be sure who's seeing what. And having a physical representation of all these images, I think is just great. You can pull it out, put it on your coffee table, show it off to people, and make you like it's a finalized version of what you've worked so hard for, which is absolutely wonderful.
And I think when you are inspired by other artists that have put their projects in a book, I think supporting them. Mm-hmm, you know, I'm a collector of photo books that are people's personal projects because I know how hard and what the work was that went into it. And so it's nice to have those laying around to continue to thumb through and think about as you're trying to be inspired as well.
Absolutely. I love it so much. So do you have any final words or words of encouragement for people who are thinking about a personal project but don't really know how to start?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the key is to remember that there's no rules for it, which can be intimidating or can cause people not to start one. But you really get to decide. You get to set how long are you going to work on this? I think the important thing is to plan it out a little bit, even if you just make some notes. You know, it's fun to just jump into something, but I think the success is much higher when you take just a little bit of thought, like, when do I want to work on this? What is it that I want to get out of this project? How much time can I invest in it? Is it just once a weekend? Is it going to be during a trip that I have planned? Mm-hmm. And if you're new to it, I would start really small. So start with something, whether it's learning a new skill, whether it's shooting a style of photography you haven't done in a long time, and you're going to set, you know, one weekend a month to go explore. Start small and just begin working on it and then see where it goes. Be open to the possibilities.
I love that. You know, I love the idea also of starting small. I think for a lot of people, especially since we just hit the new year, we're recording this in January, a lot of the 352 projects, or you have the project record a one second or 1 minute video every day for 352 years. I look at that and I'm like, there is no way I would be able to keep that up. Even with best of intentions, because life gets in the way. And so a lot of people start those with really great intentions and they want to finish them and then they fall by the wayside. And then all of a sudden you have a negative idea of what a personal project was because you failed at completing someone else's idea of what it should be. But if you design it for yourself and you create something that's truly unique to you, then you don't need to worry about meeting someone else's idea or expectations of the project that you are a part of. And that, I think, should give people a lot more like a big sigh of relief of like, oh, maybe I can pull my camera out and just use it because I want to. Use it because I enjoy it, not because I'm trying to tick off the requirements of somebody else's challenge or project that they're doing on Instagram or whatever. Make it your own. Make it unique and see what happens. I think it can be super, super exciting.
Oh, absolutely.
That's great. Well, Lori, I just want to thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you and learning so much more about how we can find joy with our cameras and how you do that specifically, I think is very inspiring. And for those of you listening to the podcast today, we will have all of Lori's information so you can follow her on her Instagram and learn a little bit more about what she does. We'll have a link to her website and also to her social media handle so you can connect with her there. And you can find all of that at focalpointspodcast.com. As always, thank you to Enphoto for sponsoring this podcast. If you need printed products for your photography business, they are the place to go at enphoto.com. Lori, thank you so much and we will talk soon.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, I hope you've enjoyed the program. I have a quick request. If you've enjoyed this program or enjoyed other programs that we've brought to you courtesy of Focal Points and Enphoto, I would love for you to head over to Spotify or iTunes and leave us a review. These help us more than you know when it comes to getting the word out about the program and how we can help other photographers who might be dealing with some of the same struggles that you are. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your review today.